We've been studying the full armor of God over the past several weeks, and as we have worked our way up to the sword of the Spirit, we see that the soldier has come to know his enemies, and he's come to know some of the strategy that is used in this spiritual warfare that we call the Christian life. We've seen the soldier get dressed. We've seen him put on the belt, put on the breastplate, put on his shoes, put on the shield, put on the helmet. So he's been prepared. You've been prepared to go into this battle of truth and with truth, with righteousness, with readiness, with faith, with assurance, as we have said in the last several weeks. Now, as you picture that, maybe you have a mental image of that armor, and what we see about that armor is that the soldier, up to this point, is complete defensively. He's prepared, you are prepared, defensively. But the soldier does not yet have a weapon in his hands. He has a shield, but not a weapon in his hands. This morning, we're going to look at the sword of the Spirit. We're going to explore what that means and how the sword of the Spirit may be applied to your Christian life. We're going to go into this spiritual battle prepared, as the Apostle Paul in the Word of God, by these words of the Holy Spirit, prepare us. So we're going to begin with our first heading, looking at the Christian's weapon. The Christian's weapon. Now, it may not have crossed your mind up to this point, but in all of this description of the soldier in preparation for spiritual battle, it's 8 weeks for those that are counting, the soldier does not yet have a weapon in his hands. He has a shield, he has things to protect him, he has that which is defensive. He's protecting the loins, he's protecting the heart, protecting the inner life. As we've said, there is protection against the world, the flesh, and the devil. But those things are all defensive. And I want you to notice that much of the Christian life, much of spiritual warfare, is defensive. It's being prepared. It's knowing what the expectations are. It's knowing what we're looking out for and going forward in that preparation that the gospel gives to us. But I also want you to understand that the Christian life is not a life of a pacifist. Spiritual warfare is something that requires us, requires you, to be active as you go into battle. We defend in spiritual warfare, but God also provides you with a weapon as you go forward. And again, we're thinking in spiritual terms here. We're thinking of spiritual battle, spiritual warfare. This is your preparedness as a Christian. You can think of the things today that represent weapons of defense, weapons of military. You can think of chosen weapons. And in the ancient world, the sword was that chosen weapon. The sword came to signify both power and authority, as well as the personal right to defense as well as that which is used for going into battle. You can think of Romans chapter 13. Romans 13 says that the magistrate is equipped with the sword. So the sword represents something. It represents that ability to protect and power and authority. Now, what's interesting about the sword is that it's both defensive as well as offensive, isn't it? You can think of great scenes of sword fighting that maybe you've seen in your life. Maybe you've seen a good film with sword fighting. And of course, the best scene in all of cinematographic history for sword fighting is Inigo Montoya versus the Dread Pirate Roberts in the Princess Bride. And you can think of that scene where the swords are used to defend against blows, but they're also used as weapons of assault for those that are fighting. The sword is offensive as well as defensive. It's something that is to be used in the life of those that wield the sword with strategy. It's not something that is just handed off without strategy. And I want you to think of that as we go into this passage. Now, what sword is being described here in Ephesians? There's several types of swords that are common in the ancient world. The scene that I mentioned previously uses what's called a long sword. You can think of a sword that's used for broad and sweeping combat. But there's also a short sword in the ancient world that is used for close and intimate battle, something that is more where you're personally close as you're battling. And if you think of those two, a long sword or a short sword, which one do you think is used here in the Greek New Testament? It's the short sword. The Greek word that's used here is actually the word from which we get the Spanish word machete. So it's something that's used for hand-to-hand combat. This is what we're given in the Christian life, a short sword for person to person, face-to-face, so to speak, an interpersonal weapon. So the Christian's weapon is the sword of the Spirit. Now, you need to understand something else as we move on, is that there's a great warning for us. You're not just giving this sword over to someone who is not equipped or not being equipped to use that sword. The sword, as part of the armor of God, is called the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. And because this sword is something that belongs to the Spirit of God and given to the church and given to us as individual Christians, there is a warning. There's something that we have to consider as we think about that sword. So secondly, we'll look at the Christian's warning. The Christian's warning. Now you might think, well, Pastor Nathan, what sort of warning would be here in the text? It just says that the sword is the sword of the Spirit. Why give us any warning? The warning is the fact that the sword is that which the Holy Spirit provides for the church. The Holy Spirit is the one, He is the one that has decided what the weapon is that you carry into battle come Monday morning. The Christian life is a spiritual battle. We've talked about the world, we've talked about the flesh, we've talked about the devil, and you need to be prepared to go into those battles, which are the Christian life. So the warning is, what are you taking into the battle? What is that that you are preparing yourself to fight with in that battle? The Spirit provides the sword. And you need to be careful to hear this. This is His work. This is His provision. The warning for you is that you cannot replace the sword of the Spirit with a weapon of your choice and believe as though God will bless you in the midst of the battle. You can't be doing God's work God's way if you go into the battle that is the Christian life with something other than the sword of the Spirit. Now, if you go into a physical battle, you can choose your weapon. You can choose to own a certain type of firearm, and you can be excited about the types of firearms that you own, and you can make decisions as to which ones you prefer, and you could argue with those that prefer something else and have a whole discussion on what is the best type of firearm for home defense or for going into military battle, and we could have this whole discussion on that. But we're not welcome to have that discussion when it comes to the things of God and the church being prepared for the spiritual battles that you all face every day. Again, we've talked about it. Think of your calendar. Think of Monday morning. Think of the alarm clock going off. These are the beginnings of the spiritual battle that you will enter every day. The spiritual battles that you enter. What are you carrying as a weapon into those battles? You know that our battles are spiritual, not physical. But our weapon is not to be negotiated. You are to be equipped with the sword of the Spirit. You are to take no other weapon into that battle with you. And I want you to consider that. I want you to know that you are equipped in that way, and you must heed this warning. You see, as you go into battle, you are not to take into battle anything that God has not given you. So the sword of the Spirit, that's what we take in. And you know, that's the Word of God. You're not to take in tradition as that which will help you in the battle. You can have traditions of men that you hold dear and that you love. And if you take those into battle and you say, I'm going to fight the spiritual battles around me with all of these traditions that are not found in God's Word, those have no value in spiritual battle. It's indefensible if you are using what the Bible calls the traditions of men to fight the battles for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. As a student of church history, I see that all of church history seems to pull towards the building of traditions. All of church history pulls away from God's Word and away from the truth of the Word of God and pulls toward traditions, whether new or old or made up or wherever they come from. Often the choice of the greater church is that the weapon that God has provided is set aside and the traditions of men are followed as a way to defend in the spiritual battle. There was an NPR article last week about the most conservative Americans are increasingly being drawn to the Eastern Orthodox Church. And it explains why that is. Because the people want to maintain something of tradition, and they want to see stability in a culture and in a society. And there's a whole group of thinkers that are saying the Eastern Orthodox Church provides that stability. Friends, the Word of God provides that stability. Amen. The Word of God is that which will save a culture or a society or a family or an individual. And as we go into those spiritual battles, and they're all around us, the sword of the Spirit is that which you are to carry in with you. Now, another aspect or another warning that we need to heed here is that sometimes the church replaces the Word of God, replaces the sword of the Spirit with what I call imposed morals. Morals, things that are required, standards of living or ways that we are to act or ways that we are to behave or things that we are to say. In imposing those things, putting those things forward, and yet the Word of God does not command those. The Word of God does not require those. You see that in the Old Testament as the Word of God is there and the Word of God is central in the life of the church. And there's times within the Old Testament where the people of God try to protect that Word by adding something to it, by adding morals around it. You can think of probably page one of your Bible where the serpent approaches Eve. And he says, "Hath God said?" And you remember what Eve said. She said, "God said, we're not to eat this or touch it." God never said not to touch it. Eve said not to touch it. She's putting protection around the commandment of God. And we see that throughout the Scriptures. We see the Old Testament laws, the Ten Commandments. And the people of God, especially the Pharisees at the beginning of the New Testament, the time of the Gospels, the Pharisees said, we need to protect what God has commanded, and we're going to put all of these extra traditions and all of these extra morals and all of these extra commandments around God's Word as a way to protect the Word of God. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. God gives us the sword of the Spirit. He doesn't say, here's the sword of the Spirit. Now, take the traditions of men and protect that sword. And he doesn't say, take all of these imposed morals, all of these extra niceties and kindnesses, and impose those on the sword of the Spirit. We need to be warned. We need to be warned of extra biblical morality and extra biblical traditions, things the Bible does not require or command, and things that cannot be deduced from the Word of God. So it's a twofold warning, holding fast to the sword of the Spirit, which is not replacing it with these other things. And friends, the church slides so quickly into those things. The church slides away from the things of God and adds and subtracts. You can think of Abraham attempting to fulfill the promises of God on his own terms, rather than waiting on the Lord. You can think of Moses striking the rock twice, and God says, I said to strike the rock, not strike the rock twice. Adding to what God has called him to do. man seeking to fight spiritual battles on his own will and in his own integrity. The Christian's warning is to hold fast to the weapon that the Spirit has provided. There's no other options for fighting. There's nothing else that we are to do as the church. And we can be old-fashioned, and we can be people that the world looks at and says are crazy. We can be people that say, here is our sword. This is what we're standing on. And our church may not look like what you would expect the church to look like, or you may not like what we're teaching, or you may not like the way that we are living, but we're attempting to live according to this. And we're attempting to fight according to this. You see, like children, so much of Christians that fail in spiritual warfare fight like children trying to protect themselves. Now, you've seen children at night trying to protect themselves, right? There's a child that's scared in his or her bed, and so you pull the covers over the head as a way to protect. Covers over the head are not great protections, I would imagine. Or they're afraid that something is in the closet, so they hold their eyes really, really tight as a way to protect them from that which is in the closet. Or they hold to a stuffed animal, hold it really close as a way to protect from danger. Friends, these are not good methods for fighting battles. And God has given us something with which we are to fight the battle that is called the Christian life. And so many times, instead of picking up that which God gives us to use in battle, we come up with these other ways. We close our eyes tight, we pull the blankets over our head, or we hold on to that stuffed lion really tightly. And we think these are the things that are going to protect us. Extra-biblical traditions, extra-biblical morals, these are things that have no value for fighting the Christian life. Charles Hodge once said, "The Lord promised to give his disciples a word and wisdom which all their adversaries should not be able to gainsay or resist. In opposition to error, to false philosophy, to false principles of morals, to sophistries of vice, to the suggestions of the devil, the sole simple and sufficient answer to these things is the Word of God." Friends, the Bible, the Word of God, is that which has been given to the church. And the church, how often, pulls away and says, we're standing here, or we're standing here. You know, we're standing on science, and we're standing on reason, and we're standing on tradition, and we're standing on whatever the culture says this week that's going to change next week. But the Word of God is central to the Christian life. The Word of God is central to how we fight the Christian life. And that's why when, you know, you go to Europe and you visit all of these great old cathedrals, you see that the pulpit is over here, and what stands there is a big giant altar. Because the church replaced the centrality of the Word of God with something else. And when the Reformation happened, the pastors pulled the pulpit back to the middle and said, we're going to let everybody see that what is central here is God's Word. This is the center of our lives. This is what we stand on as a church. And friends, we need to heed that warning. Our weapon, your weapon, is the sword of the Spirit. And God has given you that weapon. And as that weapon has been given to you, your call as a soldier going into the battle from day to day is that you would grow in skill. Thirdly, the Christian's skill. The Christian's skill. The Christian in battle is to take this weapon, this sword of the Spirit, and to use it. You must use it. And the battles come, and they're all around you. They're before you. And you must come at them with the Word of God. Now, we all know that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. That's what is said here. And this means that the sword that the Spirit provides for the Christian in warfare is the Bible. That is your weapon. The Bible is your weapon. Now, here's what's so incredible to me as I study this passage. Remember, I talked about the long sword and the short sword. And the long sword is a little less personal, but a short sword is going to be in your face battle. Now, the long sword, you know, lobbing off heads and all of those fun things, the short sword, very intimate, hand to hand. It took excellence in skill. Now, the Greek word for the Greek word for word here is not what you may imagine. You know, the word became flesh. That's logos in Greek. That's the most common word for word in Greek. The logos that's seen throughout all of the scriptures, all of the New Testament, being the sacred writings being referred to as the logos, Jesus Christ being called the logos come in the flesh. But here in Ephesians, the Word of God, word is not logos here. It's the word rhema. Rhema means saying or utterance or message or declaration. So what does that mean for you? It means that the weapon that the Christian has is not the long sword. It's not the battle axe. It is that you are to come into situations that need a specific application of the Word of God, and you are to find yourself applying that strategically. You are called to use it in these specific instances, not merely using a broadsword. Now, there's going to be times in the church when maybe the elders need to kick a dog or to behead a wolf. It's not literal. Don't call PETA. Those are analogies in Scripture that those that have the care of the church, the elders, are called at times to do that. The keys of the kingdom, we can discuss those things. But in your day-to-day battle as a Christian, you are to be equipped with the sword of the Spirit, and you need to know the rhema. You need to know which message is for this specific instance, or what utterance is used here, or you are to know how to apply the word to this specific situation. So your spiritual warfare on Monday, it might need something from the writings of Paul, which is the Word of God. And on Tuesday, you may need to be comforted, and you may need to go to the Gospels, and specifically use that in your spiritual battle. And on Thursday, you might need to go to the book of Moses, the books of Moses, and use something from that section of the Word of God. And the point of that is that the short sword here requires you to have skill in the Word of God. Skill to use that in battle. And the question for you, do you know the Word of God? Do you know how to use the Word of God? Do you understand the context? Do you understand something of the system of what the Scriptures teach? The Rhema is for close fighting, and if you are not in God's Word regularly, you're not going to be equipped. You're not going to be ready to fight those battles. You see, we need to know how to use it as well. You know, Proverbs are different than the epistles, aren't they? Some of the things in the Scriptures are not commands. They're suggestive, or they're applications of wisdom. Some of the things that we see in the Scriptures are applied differently. The law is not the gospel. The law is in the gospel. The law is not the gospel. And you need to ask yourself if you are growing in your use of the sword. Are you growing in those abilities that the Word of God calls you to have, that you may flourish? And I would encourage you to be in the Scriptures, to know how the Scriptures are to be used. Young people, know the Word of God. As I say to my sons, young men, someday you will lead family worship. Will you know what to even say in family worship? How do you use God's Word? You know, the Bible is not a fortune cookie. The Bible is not a magic eight ball. You're not to just say, you know, Lord, I'm feeling discouraged today. Here's my word. The lion tore in pieces enough for his cubs. Let's try a different thing. But that's how people often use the Word of God, isn't it? Like a magic eight ball or like a fortune cookie. Friends, the Word of God is the living and active breath of the Spirit of God. And it is called a two-edged sword that has the ability to divide truth, to slice through truth, so that you have what you need for your Christian life. And because it belongs to the Spirit, because the Spirit of God takes this and uses it as a sword as it goes forth. That's why, from time to time, some of you come up to me and you say, Pastor Nathan, were you talking about me in that part of the sermon? Or that part of the sermon was directly dealing with what I'm dealing with right now. Why is that? Is that because I'm in your business and I want to share your business with the congregation? No, it's because the Spirit of God takes that sword and cuts to the heart and applies it to your life. That's what the Word of God does. And friends, you are to take that word, that promise, into your spiritual battle. 2 Timothy 3 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for instruction, conviction, correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be equipped, fully equipped for every good work. And friends, that doesn't just naturally happen. There's instruction, there's conviction, there is training, and all of this happens as the truth is divided properly, as instruction goes forth, as you understand how to apply the Word of God in situations that come to you. Use the Word of God in your spiritual battles. Know how to apply the Scriptures to your life. This is the sword of the Spirit that you are called to use. This is the weapon provided for the sake of the Church of Christ as she enters into battle. Use the Word of God. The world, the flesh, and the devil will come at you. Are you prepared? God's Word is that sword. Grow in ability and grow in skill. Take up the sword of the Spirit. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for that which you have provided to us. We pray that you would give us the ability more and more to use that in our lives for your sake and glory. Amen. Let's stand and we will sing Psalm 119.